This is the first of several bonus episodes that I will be throwing up into the feed here for The Ghost in You. I'm going to be calling these archaeological nuggets. These are fascinating and mysterious discoveries that have been made that pertain to the Bible. Here at the beginning of April in 2022, a cursed amulet was discovered near what is thought to be Joshua's altar on Mount Ebal. And I want to share what the Jerusalem Post had to say about this. This month's revelation of the text that's inscribed on a curse amulet. There's a Dr. Scott Stripling. He is the director of excavations for the Associates for Biblical Research at Ancient Shiloh. And he led the research on this amulet that they're calling a curse amulet. He held a media conference and he made a new set of astounding announcements about this find. The lead amulet measures 2 centimeters square, and it was found by wet sifting material taken from a site on Mount Ebal that was excavated by Professor Adam Zertl more than 30 years ago. Here's some background information on that. This area is under Palestinian control. Of course, they don't want to let Israel come in and dig here. They're not allowed to excavate. But this professor that had been there 30 years ago had already pulled a bunch of this material out. It just needed to be picked up and taken somewhere to go through it. And so that's what they've done here. Folded in half, the letters inscribed in the lead foil were indecipherable, and the metal was too brittle to unfold. So the amulet was sent to researchers in Prague who used tomographic scans, similar to medical diagnostic CT scans, to recover the hidden text. The scans revealed an ancient proto-alphabetic Hebrew inscription consisting of 40 letters comprising 23 words. After deciphering the text, it was determined to be a defixio, a curse tablet. Here's what it says. Cursed, cursed, cursed. Cursed by the God Yahweh. You will die cursed. Cursed you will surely die. Cursed by Yahweh. Cursed, cursed, cursed. The word cursed appears 10 times and the name of God appears twice. Dr. Stripling said the name of God on the tablet uses the 3-letter spelling Yud, He, Vah. What we commonly see in the Bible is the 4-letter tetragrammaton spelled Yud, He, Vav, He. But we also have in the Bible the 3-letter and even 2-letter spelling. In the early period, there was no standard spelling. If accurate, the text is now believed to be the oldest example of proto-alphabetic Hebrew discovered to date in Israel. This would also be the oldest appearance of the name of the God of Israel. In working to establish the age of the tablet, analysis of the lead determined it was from a mine in Greece that was active during the Late Bronze Age. This was from 1550 BCE to 1200 BCE. The epigraphic nature of the Proto-Hebraic writing was also consistent with this period, as was the archaeological context in which the amulet was found. This type of writing is much more characteristic of the very beginning Late Bronze II Age, which was 1400 BCE to 1300 BCE, than of the end. For those who hold a late date of the Exodus, they could argue that they were still using an archaic script, but it is more logical to say the Exodus was earlier. This is really problematic for people who say the Exodus was later or metaphoric. This early appearance of God's name has implications for theories about how and when the Bible was written. This is a problem for the documentary hypothesis that states that the Bible was composed in different sections hundreds of years apart and later redacted. This is also a challenge to the theory that states that Moses could not have written the Pentateuch because an alphabetic script did not exist early on. Here we see that it did exist. The appearance of a written language on Mount Ebal is consistent with a scenario in which the nation participated in a covenant ceremony as described in the Bible. There's a presumption of literacy that Joshua can write and that the people can read. Dr. Stripling also added that Dr. Zertl found flat plaster-covered stones buried inside the altar consistent with the biblical account. And this is the one found in Deuteronomy 27 verses 2 to 3. As soon as you've crossed the Jordan into the land that Hashem your God is giving you, you shall set up large stones. Coat them with plaster, and inscribe upon them all the words of this teaching. When you cross over to enter the land that Hashem your God has given you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as Hashem, the God of your fathers, promised you. Stripling said the stones are about to undergo examination. He also revealed that they found a metal stylus at the site of the kind that would be used to inscribe the metal amulet. He referred to the book of Job, believed to have been written between the 7th and 4th centuries BCE, which seems to be describing just such a writing process. Job 19:24 reads, "Oh, that my words were written down, would they be inscribed in a record, incised on a rock forever with iron stylus and lead." Sounds pretty exact to me. Stripling said that he believes that the tablet verifies Zertl's assertion that the site he excavated in the 1890s on Mount Ebal was the altar of Joshua. Joshua 8 verse 30 says, at that time Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal. Zertal's assertion that Mount Ebal was the scene of Joshua's covenant ceremony was received at the time with skepticism, even though the Bible says it. The lead amulet absolutely supports Zertal's assertion that Mount Ebal was the site of Joshua's altar. It was found in an area called El Bernat in Arabic, a stony ridge on the second step of the mountain. Two altars were found, an older circular altar and then a later rectangular altar that was later intentionally covered by a mantle of stones. It's at the right place, at the right time, and has the right stuff. Stripling even suggested that the lead amulet might have been part of that ceremony described in the Bible. There's no way to be certain, but it is possible, he said, if you take the curse inscribed on the inside of the tablet and there is additional cursing inscribed on the outside, that is a summary of Deuteronomy, which has a list of blessings and curses. That is how covenants were made in the late Bronze Age. This is a legal type of document. This is a self-imprecatory curse, with the author saying that they are binding themselves, saying that these curses will happen to them if they violate God's covenant. More importantly, the amulet was found in the altar context. This was to say that if they broke the covenant, they would come to the altar as taking responsibility for their actions. When the tablet is sealed, it is binding. This could be one tablet, and this is the titular tablet from the ceremony binding the whole nation in the covenant. But if we sift through the rest of the material from the altar and find a bunch more, then maybe it was that individuals were coming in over a period of time to confirm the covenant. Stripling explained that the curses are what he prefers to call consequences, and they were an essential part of the relationship between God and man. The concept of curses starts back in the Garden of Eden. This introduces the concept of consequences. The altar was on the Mountain of Curses, not on Gerizim, which was the Mountain of Blessings. So Mount Ebal was the Mountain of Curses. Gerizim was the Mountain of Blessings. Stripling said, we don't need an altar when we are in the blessings. When we break the covenant, when we are in sin, that is when the altar comes into play. It is only through the shedding of blood that there is remission of sin. If we repent and accept the consequences, we are expiated from the curse. So I thought I would share that with you guys. That's a really cool finding, and it shakes the core of some of these archaeological beliefs that are out there. It strengthens what the Bible has to say, and kind of turns some of the theories that have been going around now for centuries on their head. Something else I heard about this is that before this time, the Israelites were calling God El Shaddai. This would be when he's telling them, now I want you to call me Yahweh. So that's pretty cool too. Hope you guys enjoyed this little archaeological nugget. Be looking forward to more in the future.